be with us. Yesterday was a great day, our annual fun run and Easter carnival and pancake breakfast here. We just had a great time reaching out into the community. Ann and Tony Pacheco and their all their volunteers and their support staff did a great hand. Let's give them a hand. I'm not sure if they're here or not, but boy, they do an awesome job. And we're really blessed to have them as part of our church. A week from tomorrow, I'm flying to Kenya. My youngest son, Matt, and his family live in Kenya. You may recall a number of months ago, we raised money for one of our wells. And we've drilled over 95, 96 wells thus far, providing clean drinking water for people in developing countries. And many of you helped raise the funds for a well I'm going to be drilling in Kenya the following week with my son, Matt. We're going up to the kind of the northwest corner of Kenya, over near the Uganda border by Lake Victoria. We're going to have a great time drilling that well. And I want to thank you because that's a well that will be dedicated to the memory of my wife. And many of you were involved in raising funds for that. So thank you so much for your support and your involvement. Let's give the Lord a great hand through Bear Creek Water. But as the spiritual father of our church, I want to just share a couple of thoughts with you, particularly those that have been here a long time. If you're a guest or a visitor, it's good for you to kind of know where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And we're in the middle of two-thirds through a three-year pastoral transition process that we believe God is leading us to do. And I knew many years ago when I got to be in my 70s that the church would need to be led by a younger man. Now, I know I don't look 70, probably look 50, but I check my driver's license every so often and it reminds me of reality. But I knew it would be vital for the future of our church that the church be led by a younger man. I was about 40 when I started the church, and now I'm 50, so it's time for that to move on. But nearly 3 years ago, I met with our leadership, and we put into a planning process how we would go about pastoral succession. We hired a national search firm. They did a national search, and we believe very confidently, without any reservation, that Pastor Paul and Ashley were the couple to lead our church into the next stage, into the next season of our church's life. And we're very blessed and grateful that God has led us to them. And yet in the midst of transition, you know, it's always hard for some people. It's hard for me, but transition is part of life. If you don't think that we're all in transition, get your high school yearbook out and look at your picture and then look in the mirror. And you may not recognize the person in the mirror, but we're all in transition. And in the last 9 months, we've even had some unexpected things happen in the life of the church that we weren't expecting, just in that short window of time. We didn't know that Pastor Jebby, who'd been with us for nearly 10 years, was going to retire and leave. And really, the core of the worship team left at that time as well. And that was hard. That was part of the hard transition. And we had no idea that just 4 weeks after Pastor Jebby left, my wife would pass away with cancer. And we had no idea in our planning process that was going to happen. And that was hard on many of you. It was certainly hard on me. And yet, as we just sang, God provided a way. God provided a path through all of that. And in light of all of these changes that have happened, we recognize that change is hard. But we also know that we are right on target with what God wants to do in our church. We believe that this is God's will, his master plan for all that he wants to do in our church. And right now we're in a wonderful season of God's favor. This first quarter of this year, 2018, this first quarter, January through March, more people have accepted Christ in this first quarter than any quarter that we've been keeping records of. And that's what the church is all about. Our attendance is up over 18% of where it was a year ago. Our giving is very steady. That allows us to continue doing ministries that we're doing. Sarah, one of our missionaries. Her husband James and Sarah Appel are here from Chad, and I'm going to do an interview with them next Sunday. And we drilled a couple of wells in Chad, and we'll hear more about that next Sunday as well. But we have a great team that God's assembled here at Bear Creek Church. Pastor Paul, Pastor Darrow, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Bobby, Ann, Pastor Chris, and myself. The seven of us are very strong and confident leaders, knowing that God has brought us here for this season. We have a tremendous supporting staff. We have so many volunteers. If you were here yesterday, you saw all of those volunteers that really made those events possible yesterday. And going into the future, I'm going to continue to be here. I'm going to be part of the pastoral staff going forward. I'm going to be sitting right here cheering Pastor Paul on as he leads our church into the next stage and the next chapters that we have for the church today. I'll be teaching. I'll be giving counsel. I'll be providing leadership for the church going forward for as long as I am able. And we're riding this great season of God's favor in our church. But as we move into this season, it's so vital that we practice the words of Jesus. You know, just before Jesus was crucified, he gathered his friends around him, and he spoke the words that are recorded in John 13, 14, and 15. And he said to them these words. He said, "The world is going to know you are my disciples by the love you have for each other." Notice he didn't say, "The world's going to know you're my disciples by the preaching style that you use, or who leads worship, or how worship happens." He didn't say that. He didn't say the world will know you're my followers by the Bible translation you use, or the name of the church label that you have above the door. He said the world will know you are my followers by the love you have for each other. Love is the acid test. Love is the thing that matters most. And transition is hard, but transition is also good because it takes us to higher levels. So as we go through this transition together, we're all going to be in this together. And I want you to know that God is in control, that we are right in the center of God's will, that what we're doing is led by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, and we are right exactly where we need to be right now. And as we've said so often, the best is yet ahead. The best days of our church are still yet in the future. And I would pray that the people in our community would always know we are followers of Christ by the love we have for each other. It would be my earnest expectation and prayer that Christians in our church and the many Christians out in the community that you and I all know, that they will fully see that we are followers of Jesus because of the love we have for each other. Jesus said it. I mean, if you have a problem with that, then you have a problem with Jesus because he's the one in charge. And so with these are exciting days. Thank you for being part of this. I'm looking forward to the journey we're on for the next 10 or more years. And the best days truly are ahead for us. So thank you so much for being part of our church family today. I want to ask the ushers if you guys will come on forward. Every Sunday we take an offering, but the offering is only intended for people that consider Bear Creek Church their church home and family. If you're a guest or a visitor, we're just delighted to have you here. But we want you to know, as Ashley shared earlier, that all we really need from you is that little guest card. And take just a moment, fill that guest card out, and just drop it in the baskets here as they'll be passed. And just before we worship the Lord with our giving, just pause with me for a moment of prayer. Lord, we're grateful that you have blessed us all so much. And we realize every good and perfect gift we have comes from you. So Lord, take these gifts, use them and multiply them in ways that helps us to connect more and more people to Jesus. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and worship the Lord with your offering. And Pastor Paul has a great message for us this morning. Pastor Paul?
Thanks, Pastor Bill. Do you love your pastor, Pastor Bill? Do you love Pastor Bill? Come on, let's show Pastor Bill some love. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate you, your leadership, your vision, your heart. That felt like a golf clap to me. We'll do better next time, won't we, church, for Pastor Bill? Somebody over there was starting to get it, but... Hey, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. It has nothing to do with anybody in the room has everything to do with the fact that our God is good and powerful and present. I'm going to try this side. The best is yet to come. And it has nothing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is my side today. I'll be back. Don't worry. I'll give you another chance. Ishmael, I'll give you another chance here in a little bit. All right. But the best is yet to come. And it has nothing to do with me. And it has nothing to do with Pastor Bill. It has nothing to do with the wonderful leadership of the church. It has everything to do with God, because God is good and powerful and mighty and awesome. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is where we're going to kick off our message today. I confessed to you about 2 months ago, I felt like the Lord gave me a word for this day. And I've been kind of stewing over it. And so today is going to be the overflow, sort of the marinade of that message, so to speak, of what God's been putting in my heart. But I want to take a minute or two before we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and kind of contextualize this in this way. I genuinely believe with all of my heart, with every fiber of my being, like with every ounce of strength I might be able to muster, I genuinely believe that God wants to bless you more than you can possibly imagine. Now, I got to linger here for a minute, because some of us are a little uncomfortable conceptually with this notion. And let me throw this in here in this morning. I'm not talking about money. Because that's usually what we think of when we think about the blessing of God. Great. If God blesses you with money, fantastic. I'll take some of it, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. That was a joke. That tried to be a joke. What I'm talking about is that God wants to bless you beyond anything you could possibly imagine. I really do. If you were to do open heart surgery, there's a couple of things that you'd find within the heart of this man, this pastor up here. And I genuinely believe that God rewards and blesses people who seek him. I genuinely believe with all of my strength that we have no idea how desperately God wants to bless his people. And it's because of that I believe the best is yet to come. It's because that's foundational. It's because that begins my day and ends my day as a believer. And I'm talking about just me for a moment and my fellowship of Jesus. Because I believe that when I start the day in prayer and in the Word, that it's not a waste of time. It's because I seek the presence of the Lord when nobody's around. And so you get to see the ridiculous side of the excitement of the overflow of that investment on Sunday morning. Now, hear me loud and clear. I'm not here to talk about myself, but it's easy to use myself as an illustration, all right? But I believe with all of my heart that God wants to reward and bless his church more than we could ever imagine. And some people, we've grown up with this notion, this idea that can be a little bit of a, you know, we'll accept Jesus by faith, but we won't believe that God has something good for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I'm going to read the word of the Lord to us this morning, and it says this. Some of you are going to be blessed by this just by the reading of the word. And it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith." See, most of us, we buy that. Yeah. You got to have faith. You got to have faith to believe in God. You can't even have a relationship with God without faith. It starts and ends right there. Yeah. Pastor, I get that. It is impossible to please God without faith. He continues, the author continues, "Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and," say with me, and "that he rewards..." Give you a second to catch up. "That he rewards those who sincerely seek him." I'm just giving you a second to catch up. I believe with all of my heart that the best is yet to come. Because I believe God is stirring in his church an appetite to seek him. I believe God is stirring in his church, and I'm talking the big church, not just Bear Creek Community Church, but the Church of Jesus Christ, a desire to seek him through his word, a desire to seek him in song and in worship, a desire to seek him through the ministry of the preaching and teaching of his word. I believe that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I want you to know that I wake with this belief. I fall asleep with this belief. I talk with this belief because I believe it is foundational and overflow of the Holy Spirit that is present in the life of every believer. I genuinely believe with all of my heart, and you got to get this before we move forward, that God, it is impossible to please God without faith, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Who's ready to go on a journey with me this morning? That God is a rewarder. Say with me, my God is a rewarder. Say it again like you actually want to be here. My God is a rewarder. Did you hear the God we serve? He is a rewarder. Some of you say, no, Pastor Paul, I believe you're stretching doctrine and this is inconsistent with scripture. That's all right. You can be wrong. In Jeremiah chapter 17, this is what the word of the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Woo! Matthew chapter 6. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, that's God, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. My God is a rewarder. Matthew chapter 5, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, do not throw away your confidence for it will be richly rewarded. We just need to read the word sometimes like the word meant to be read. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it's impossible to please God if we don't believe he's a rewarder. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say it again because we got to get it. Because some of you still think this is a Paul thing. It's not. It's a nature of God thing towards his children. He wants to be sought. He wants to bless the seeker. He wants to bless the seeker. He's looking for a reason to bless you, not to curse you. Our God is a rewarder. He's not distant and sitting on a throne made of gold so he can look and be like that's not our God. He's looking for a reason to bless you. Because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says, look, I am coming and my reward is with me. You got to understand before we move forward, the heart of the believer who is seeking after God, the heart of the believer who's hungry for the things of God, we must understand that God is a rewarder, that our God rewards diligence in seeking, that he is not here to condemn us. He's here to save us, and that his word is consistent towards this regard, that we can be hungry for the things of God. And that's why I believe the best is yet to come. Because God's stirring in his church an appetite for the things of God more and more and more and more. We can learn, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Are you guys ready this morning? Anybody ready for me to start preaching a little bit? Good. This side's a little bit, that's all right. We'll work on this side here in a little bit. All right, Adam, we'll get to you guys here in a little bit, but 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to read verses 25 through 30. I'm going to interject myself as I read, and what I want to set this text up, but I want to say one thing. We can learn from the Word of God, from men and women who have done it right. That's what the Word of God is for. All authority is God-breathed and is useful for correcting, teaching, training, and equipping a man in righteousness so that he might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. So the Word of God is here for our teaching. Amen? It's here for our correction at times. It's here to help us understand the heart of God. And so David is a man after God's own heart. How many of you would like to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? I know more people meant to raise their hands, so I'm going to give you another chance. Make sure that only 14 of us aren't in the room, right? How many of us want to be men and women after God's own heart? Come on, I'm in the right room this morning. Everybody, it just seems like, is raising their hand. We're in the right place. And David is a man after God's own heart. How many of you know you can make mistakes and still be a man or a woman after God's own heart? Amen? That's David for us this morning. But I want to illustrate a passage of scripture. I'm going to take 30 seconds to set it up and say this. This is the time in the history of Israel when Israelites are fighting against the Philistines. And this is the chapter where David kills the giant named Goliath. But before we get to this passage of scripture that most of us know pretty well, I want to set it up and illustrate the heart of a man who's after God. I want to illustrate to you the heart of a person who's set on and understanding the nature of God. Okay, now stay with me because you got to tie that in as we get into this in just a minute. But the Philistines and the Israelites, they're fighting, but they're not really in battle. And the Philistines have sent this giant out, and he's mocking the Israelites. And the Bible records for us that he does this for some weeks. And David is sent. He's sent from the field of the sheep. So he's the shepherd of his father's flocks, right? He's sent from the field of sheep, which means he's the lowest of the low in his family, okay? There's lessons in there. He's nobody. He's left off the battlefield. You go take care of the animals, right? And so he goes and he's approaching I forget the name of the field or the valley there, but he's approaching the valley and he sees the Israelites on one side and he sees the Philistines on the other and Goliath. And this is the conversation that unfolds before us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24. This is what it says. As soon as the Israelite army saw him being Goliath, they began to run away in fright. Verse 25, have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel, and the king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. Now, I don't know about you, but that second part sounds really good, California. Apparently, you've lived here too long. Not paying taxes sounds really good, California. All right, so somebody's being set free over there. So the reward, and this is so important to understand, the reward that David hears is carnal, but something's happening because the spirit, the heart of the man who's after God begins to be moved by a reward. So he hears the reward. And the reward is, you get to marry one of the king's daughters, and you and your whole family will be exempt from paying taxes. And somebody said, amen. So he's heard the reward one time. Let me keep reading verse 26. David asked the soldiers standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? I love how the Bible records things, because it just cracks me up. I don't have time to unpack that the way that I want to, but David sounds very proper. Who is this man, a defiance of Israel? Because that's how everybody talks in the Bible. It's weird. All right, who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's even allowed to defy the armies of the living God? So David, in verse 26 right here, he says, come again. What's going on here? He said, what is the situation right here in verse 27? And these men that David asked for clarification in verse 27, and these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. So twice now, David has heard that there is a reward. The reward is interesting him. The reward is motivating him. Are you hearing me? The reward is doing something in him to inspire him to want to move. Stay with me. Verse 28, but when David's oldest brothers, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded, what about those few sheep? There's a dig. You're supposed to be taken care of. I know who you are. I know about your pride and your deceit. You just want to see the battle. You selfish jerk, is what the older brother has communicated to David. You know, I just got to throw this in here. This is so important. Anytime you begin to move from one place or season of your life to another, that keeps me on track. Anytime you begin to move from one season or one place of your life into another and you're motivated by a divine reward, some of the brethren will approach you and they will let you know what they think about the situation. Catch up to me. He said, "Who do you think you are?" Verse 29, "What have I done now?" David replied, "I was only asking a question." Verse 30, he walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. So now he has sought the reward by verbal affirmation or confirmation three times. Something is going on in the heart of the man after God's own heart. Something is stirring within him. He's moved by a reward. He's moved by a reward to want to take action, to move his position. He's moved by a reward that came from the heart of God towards something he didn't understand and didn't see. And what I want to suggest to you this morning, very simply, church, this morning is this. It does not bother God when we're moved by a reward. Now, this is teaching that people, that consternation and discomfort and curiosity kind of overwhelms them. But I want to suggest to you this morning that there comes a point in our life where we are moved to understand that the heart of God is one of reward. Now I'm going to begin to spiritualize it. There comes a point where we begin to move from bystander and Mr. Stoicness in the church to begin to understand that there is a reward in seeking after God. And the heart of the person full of the Spirit of God understands that there is a reward for those who seek God. Rewards are from God. And the man and the woman of God understands that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. David was moved by a reward and it didn't bother God. I suggest some of us need to hear this morning that you can trust God for more. In your life, in your family's life, in your job, with your promotion. And it's not an offense to the heart of God. In fact, it's full of understanding that God wants to bless you. Somebody's getting this morning. I know that they are. The things I want to say simply in close of this first illustration is this, and this is so important. David moved to another group who spoke about the reward. Listen to me. If you're still walking through this spiritual life with people who are not hungry for and understanding your thirst and an appetite for the reward, the presence of God, change your people. Change them. Walk across the room. Meet people who are hungry for the things of God, who have an appetite for the things of God, and understand that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. It's his plan to reward. It's not our selfish ambition. David's hunger got him audience with the king. Your hunger for the presence of God will give you an audience with the king. Your hunger for the reward of heaven will give you an audience with the King of Kings. This is amazing. May we be a church full of hunger and thirst for righteousness, because Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Come on. I'm about to start preaching in just a second. Turn with me because it gets better. The heart of a man with a heart after God. My God is a rewarder. You got to understand. I don't stand up here and say this to inspire you. I believe it. I believe when I seek the presence of God alone, there's a reward in that. So, Pastor, what is the reward? Let me just remind you before I move to the second and probably the last illustration that I'm going to get to this morning. When Jesus is introduced by the angelic hosts of heaven, he is introduced as the one who will bring peace and joy to all humanity. Now, let me just suggest this for those of you who might be thinking, I'm suggesting the blessings of God are financial. They can be, and praise God if they are, but you can't take it with you. And money's real fun for a day, and then you need more of it. I'm not talking about finance. I'm talking about the Prince of Peace that lives inside of our heart and the joy of the Lord that is resident when the Holy Spirit lives within us. I'm talking about joy and peace if we seek the giver and not the gift. If we're not afraid to say there's a reward when I stand and lift my hands in worship. There is a reward when I pray. There is a reward when I read the word of God. I can trust God that the best is yet to come because it's his plan for my life and not my own. I wish I had another 2 hours with you. But I got to get to the second illustration because it's rich. My God is a rewarder. My God is a rewarder. He's not sitting, so this is for somebody here before I go on. He's not sitting on the sideline waiting for you to mess up to judge you with anger. He loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to forgive you while you were yet a sinner. Amen. Some people getting it. It blesses me so. I got to find 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is an amazing. If I had an hour, I couldn't unpack this the way that I want to. I confess to you right now. But in 2 Samuel chapter 6, this is an amazing story. David, the man after God's own heart, is being rewarded by God. He's been made king. I can't get over the fact that God has for somebody an understanding today that he wants to bless you. I just can't. I can't express that in simple enough terms. God wants to reward you. But he wants to be sought. And he blesses the seeker, not the interested. And there's a big difference. May God stir in all of our hearts the desire to seek him. Use the measure of faith you've been given to seek the Lord as you know how and watch him return in your life. I got to stay on point before I start losing my train of thought. But in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David has been anointed king. And the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen about 30 years before by the Philistine army. See, they battled. They continued to battle. And at times the Philistines were winning and at times the Israelites were winning. But at this point in time, the Ark of the Covenant, now here's what you got to hear. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic, not only representing, but was the power and the presence of God. Now hear me. The Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, had been removed from God's people. And David got his military ready because he said, I've had enough of this. We need to go after the Ark of the Covenant. We need to go after the presence of God. And the military went and found out that God had already delivered the ark into their hands. This is amazing. Because some of us were trying to seize the presence of God. And along the way, we're going to find out that he's already given the presence of God to us. Oh man, I'd like to linger here, but I got to keep going. And so God does a miracle. And he sends the Ark of the Covenant back on this oxen and this wagon. And the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God is returning. And David's people throw a party. They valued the presence of God so much that when the presence of God was coming back to their house, they threw a party. What would been in some of our homes. If the neighbors came by, hey, what are you celebrating? The presence of God. They'd think we were out of our minds. They already do. They already do. And he throws a party because the presence of God is returning. And along the way, this is amazing. Oh, I wish I had another hour with you. Oh, my goodness, I wish I did. Maybe I'll just make it. I won't. Don't worry. But I wish I had another hour with you. But on the way back, the oxen stumble in the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant falls. It begins to fall off the wagon. And when it falls off the wagon, there's this man named Uzziah. And he reaches out his hand to try to catch the Ark of the Covenant. And what happens is God gets angry at him. Because he balanced the Ark of the Covenant. He got angry at him for some reason and he struck him dead. Stay with me. I think sometimes God would like to remind us not to try to control his presence and his spirit in such a way to say, you let me glorify myself in the way I want to be glorified, son. Because by assuming I can't glorify myself, you take the place of God. And I feel like the Lord would remind the church, I'm not talking about just Bear Creek, but the whole church, just to remember that God's been glorifying himself a lot longer and a lot better than we ever could. Far better than I ever could with teaching and proclamation of the word. God's been glorifying himself when his presence is seen for a long time. I wish I had another hour, Mark. But I don't. And so I got to get you and me both. Except for the baptism, I got to be out in like 25 minutes. Baptism after service, by the way. I hope you're hearing what I'm teaching and laying down for you this morning, that the presence of God is returning. God got angry because Uzziah reached up and tried to balance the Ark of the Covenant. But this is what's amazing to me, and this is where the lessons very quickly in the close of the service begin to apply themselves. The fact of the matter is David was scared because of God's presence. And he sent the ark, he said, the Ark of the Covenant cannot be near me in my home because I'm afraid of it. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what happened. So he sent the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, across the street to a man named Obed-Edom's home. Catch up with me, because this is amazing. David was uncomfortable with the demonstration of the presence of God and send it across the street. I think sometimes we can find ourselves uncomfortable with things we don't understand. Right? Am I the only one? Someone here is like, oh, you're not afraid. You're a pastor. I got to pastor the madness. I say that so respectfully and jokingly. It's my job to proclaim the word of God and allow the presence of God to be part of the church. And there's things I don't understand. Now listen to me loud and clear. I didn't go this way the first service. First service was better. Go watch it online. But I simply want to make this point. Sometimes the presence of God is a little nerve-wracking because we simply don't understand. And it happened in the Old Testament, and it happened in the New Testament, and it happens in 2018, but I submit to you that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. And that he wants to bless his people. He wants to bless the seeker. There's so much I could say. In 2 Samuel, I'm going to begin to wrap up in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. And this is the nut and the bolt of this section of scripture that I want to read to us this morning. This is amazing because, again, we see the heart of David seeking the reward of God's presence. Listen to this. Then King David was told, see, because the Ark of the Covenant blessed Obed-Edom's household so much that the blessing and the produce was seen. And I've understood and I've studied that they lived about 12 to 13 miles apart. And so word reached David's household that the presence of God was blessing Obed-Edom's house so much that jealousy, the seeking of the reward of the presence of God, began to root itself within David. Listen to this. Then King David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the ark of God, because of the presence of God. Everything in Obed-Edom's house is blessed. So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with great celebration. Do you see what's happening? Because it's not just enough that we have faith that God exists. We must also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Friends, may I encourage you this morning to find yourself hungry for the things of God and understand that God will not leave you alone when you seek him. God is looking for seekers. Not for curiosity. God is looking for those who hunger and thirst after his righteousness, that they might be filled. David knew. He knew that the reward of God's presence was worth sending a military after. He knew that the reward of the presence of God was worth throwing a party over. And he pursued the presence of God after he saw it blessing another household. How many of you have ever been jealous for the presence of God? It just seems like somebody's got something good going on all the time. I'm telling you that I believe with all of my heart that it is okay to be jealous for the reward of heaven in our lives, and that it's okay to pursue righteousness and godliness through his word and through prayer and through the proclamation of the gospel message. It is okay to hunger and thirst after God. That's for somebody today. David knew the presence of God was not a waste of time. I hope you know that. That's why I lift my hands in worship. Because I genuinely believe that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Father, be glorified in our worship service. This is what it sounds like for me. Lord, we love you. We worship your holy name. You're worthy of my praise. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Blessing comes from the presence of God and pursuing the presence of God. When I say the presence of God, I'm talking about the word. I'm talking about the worship service. I'm talking about prayer. And there is a reward waiting for those who will call on the name of the Lord and who aren't afraid to say, I need to have conversations with people who understand that there's a reward for being with God. Oh, I hope you're getting it. And it is impossible to please God without faith, and anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. My God is a rewarder. Come on, your God is a rewarder. Our God is a rewarder. He loves you. He loves me. He wants to be sought. Seek the giver, not the gift. Would you stand with me all over the house of the Lord this morning? You guys are such a great church to preach to, especially this 11 o'clock cloud. You guys are awake. Crowd is what I'm going to say, not cloud. We're going to move to close. I'm going to invite the prayer partners to come up here. And this is what I believe. Don't hesitate if you're a prayer partner. Come on up here. I'm going to talk for another minute. And then we're going to sing a song in worship. And this is what I feel like the Lord would have us do. If you're in here and you say, Pastor, I just need to reengage my heart to seeking the Lord. This is your window. This is your day. Don't wait. Hunger and thirst after righteousness and find yourself filled. Amen. If you need to meet Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He is the resurrection and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. One of these wonderful, beautiful prayer partners up here would love to pray with you. If you have any need in your life or you just want to seek God for a few minutes, come on up to the altar. We're going to sing a song or two. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to just stay where you're seated for a couple minutes, because people are going to meet God in the next couple moments, and this is probably the most important moment of the service. So if you could, just hold on for just a quick moment. Altars are open. Let's sing a song in the presence of God. If you need prayer, come on down front.
We receive your rain. We receive your rain. We receive your rain.
Our God is a rewarder. Our God is a rewarder. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God loves you. His best is yet to come for you. God is looking for the seeker. For he and she that would run after the things of God, listen to me, church. Jesus is the only thing that will never disappoint you. The only thing. The only thing. Father, we thank you for your word that's been spoken this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that as we leave today and begin to get back into our lives, that you would make revelation of your word to us. That we would understand that the heart of God, the nature of our Heavenly Father, is one of generosity and one of favor and one of blessing, but not so we can have stuff. It's so we can have you through life's stuff. God, I pray that we would hunger and thirst after you and your righteousness, because Jesus says when we do that, we will be filled, we'll be satisfied. Help us to be hungry for you and you alone. You and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite somebody back. Good Friday service. Easter's next weekend. God bless you. We'll see you this next weekend.